Well, since church is a family, I got to share something with me that with you guys that just kind of rattled me. Just happened just now. So those that have been here for years probably know I wear the same shoes every time I preach, okay? And some people call them elf shoes, whatever. I was just had my legs crossed over there, and I was looking at my shoe, and the sole is ripped, and I'm a little rattled right now, okay? So I don't know. Just pray for me. Pray for me. Okay, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Please turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 1 through 13. We're continuing our series called Your Kingdom Come, and we're walking through the Gospel of Mark. And the purpose of this series is to see how Jesus brought the kingdom. And we've seen many different aspects of Jesus bringing the kingdom on earth. And today we're going to see an instance where Jesus is questioned about his disciples' actions. The Pharisees are questioning him. And he takes the question and he uses it to set the record straight. So Jesus is questioned. His disciples are questioned. The Pharisees are testing him maybe. And he then uses this question, flips it on his head, and puts the Pharisees in their place. And at the heart of the matter is a question back to his opponents. It's not said in here, but this is basically what the question is are you going to only talk the talk, or are you going to walk the walk? Are you going to talk the talk, or are you going to walk the walk? And using the biblical terms here, he's saying, are you going to just honor me with your lips, or are you going to honor me with your actions as well? So let's read that together. Mark 7, 1 through 13. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Dining couches. I don't know. It's in there. I don't know what it is. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do.'" All right, so a lot of biblical background probably needed a little bit here. Very quickly, Jesus lives in a time where the leaders of the church, the leaders of Israel, the Jews, were the Pharisees, the scribes, and many of them were experts in the law. But in addition to this, they had the tradition of the elders through the Jewish religion. And so the elders had these traditions that they would hand down from generation to generation. And eventually the Pharisees elevated these traditions above the very word of God. And so one of the traditions was hand washing. And they're now getting on the case of Jesus' disciples. Why are you guys not washing your hands like the elders say you should? And Jesus, knowing their hearts, quotes an Old Testament prophecy, and he sends it right back in their face and says, "Now you guys are the ones that reject the very word of God for your traditions." And so he's getting to the heart of the matter. So I was thinking of what could be a good analogy of where maybe we get off course sometimes in life. And since it's winter season and I'm coaching wrestling a lot, you're going to get a wrestling analogy. So you guys know, if you've been here, fall time is hunting analogies, winter time is wrestling analogies, and the rest of the year I mix it up, okay? So here's an analogy for you, a wrestling analogy. I have a picture of some wrestlers up here. Look at that. Look at that. Anybody who has young children, consider it, you know? Consider it. So the wrestling analogy. I'm a wrestling coach. Let's say I'm coaching and I'm a really good coach, and the kids I'm teaching are learning, and they're learning all these things, and they have matches, so we have practice, we have matches. Well, one kid starts to have some success, and he's learning the sport, and he's getting better at it, and he all of a sudden learns this pre-match routine, and he has this pre-match routine, and I'm just going to make something up. You know, he has 20 push-ups, 30 jumping jacks, whatever, and he has this pre-match routine, and he's having success wrestling. Well, as he goes on throughout his career, maybe he's getting to be 8, 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, he's really starting to get fixated on this pre-match routine, you know, and he's really digging this pre-match routine. And pretty soon he starts neglecting the things he's taught because I'm a good coach, okay, and I'm teaching him good things, and he's neglecting it, and then he's starting to look at other little wrestlers and teach them these things, and then he starts judging them if they're not doing his routine, and then he's maybe getting completely off track, not doing what he should be doing, and he's fixated on that routine so much so that he's judging other people if they're not doing his pre-match routine, and then he ends up being like the guy on the bottom because he is not doing the things he should do because I'm a good coach and I know my stuff. Okay, so completely, I don't know, maybe not effective analogy. It's not serious enough to what this is. But I think you get the point. Sometimes we can get sidetracked into making less primary issues primary issues. And sometimes in some places we get to the point where these secondary things become so important to us that our hearts can be very hardened to the actual things that matter. And that's what is happening in this case. That's what is happening in this case. The Pharisees, in this system of elders' teaching, are so focused on what they've been taught, these man-made rules, that they're missing the very point of following God and what God's about and what Jesus is about. So here's the situation. Here we have the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes. It says in Matthew 23, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." The Pharisees throughout the New Testament, Jesus had very harsh words for them very, very often. And the big picture is they elevated religion or doing these secondary things above having a heart that loved and cared for God and cared for what God cared for. So they did things over and over and over again to try to trap Jesus. They demanded signs from him. They questioned him about divorce in order to probably catch him in his words. They questioned him about washings here. And all that they were speaking to of the washings is that they had a way of washing, of having their fingers up and washing their hands. This isn't like in the restrooms where it's saying, you know, employees, wash your hands. Thank you if you do that. We appreciate that. This was just a ceremony to be made clean in God's eyes. And it wasn't biblical. In the Old Testament, the priests had this ceremony, but not everybody that was a Jew. They tried to trap him in a question about who to pay taxes to. They brought a woman in before him that had been caught in adultery, and they used her to try to trap Jesus. They spoke poorly of him when he associated with sinners, and on and on and on. You can see these men viewed by many as the leaders of that time, had hearts that were completely hardened and resisted Jesus Christ. And the truth is, these guys really didn't actually want the question answered here. They wanted to accuse Jesus. The elders teach us these things. We should do these things. Why aren't your disciples doing these things? Really, he's questioning Jesus. What are you teaching these guys? Because we're the ones that have it right. Not you, Jesus. And who were the accused? The accused were the disciples. These were the ones that really followed Jesus, the ones that wanted to know him, to follow him, to obey him. Thinking of just this in modern day, sometimes you will have those that look the most religious that will put down the ones with the youngest of faith. Put down the youngest of faith, saying, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it well enough. The same thing in this day. The devil using the religious leaders to put down those that had a true faith in God. But who is really at fault here? It's the Pharisees. And Jesus uses an example straight out of Scripture, straight out of the Word of God, of honoring parents. And the Scripture he references is in Exodus 20. It's one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you. John MacArthur, stealing this from John MacArthur, points out that likely what's happening here in the Pharisees' way of thinking is that they are using the tradition of the elders as a means to disobey the Word of God. So, not that this would happen in any of your families, but maybe they had a dispute with parents, okay? All of you have very functional families, no dysfunction. But in some other families out there in the world, sometimes there's disagreements between parents and kids, and the Pharisees are using this teaching from the elders, which says if you have possessions and you say that it's Corban or it's devoted for sacred use, then that's what you have to do. You have to uphold that oath over obeying the Word of God, which is to honor your father and mother. And this is a biblical teaching. This is still a biblical teaching in the New Testament, that we must take care of those that are in our immediate family. That's a responsibility of Christians. If we have elderly parents, we have a responsibility to take care of them. So John MacArthur points out that what they were using is maybe having a disagreement with mom and dad and then saying, okay, yeah, this stuff here, that's Corban. That's devoted for sacred use. You're welcome, parents. You're welcome. And then they were saying, I'm holy. I'm holy. I mean, look at what I'm doing. I'm giving my stuff to God. This is so holy of me to do. All the while disobeying clear Scripture. And so what Jesus says is now is pitted against each other is the heart and the lips. So with their lips, they are confessing their love for God. They are saying, we honor God. And yet, their heart is far from him. And their heart being the inward desires, thoughts, and how we relate to God. And you can see in that example how the heart would be hardened. But there are many places in life where God gives us a command, and we might confess with our mouth, but there's a temptation to disobey in the heart or have a heart that's hardened. A heart that's not for him. And what Jesus says to them is, in vain they worship me. In vain they worship me. What's interesting about the Pharisees, when you think about it, is these are not guys that said a few things and then on the weekend were, you know, doing things they shouldn't be done. Okay? These were guys that you would look at and say, they're pious guys. They're doing all the things they should be doing. But the thing is, their heart, the very center of their being, do they love God? Do they desire to do what he says? Was hardened. And Jesus goes on and says, you leave the commandment of God to hold to the tradition of men. And then he really puts it to him, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Here's something we know about Jesus. Jesus hates those that are religious in a point that they put down true faith. They put down true faith. And so here these guys are, all looking like they have it together, like they're doing all the right things. And they question Jesus, probably very fine sounding, oh, we just want to know what's right. You know, why do your disciples not do that? All the while they're really trying to stick it to him, and Jesus throws it right back in their face. You guys are the ones that don't obey God, not me. So what is it to honor the Lord with the heart? To honor the Lord with the heart. And here we have to make a distinction between the doctrines of man and the doctrines of God. The doctrines of man and the doctrines of God. Because it would be a mistake to now say, okay, well, these guys were about obeying rules, so I guess it's not about obedience. No, it is about obedience. What it is obedience to God's commands. Obedience to God's commands. Someone with a heart that wants to follow God is about obeying God's commands, God's commands, God's word, what he says, not man-made religion. Here's some verses in John 14, repeated three times, so we really get this. John 14, 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Kind of a common theme. If you love God, you will obey his commands. The heart that has been transformed by God, his love, receiving his love, and now loving him back, will have a desire to obey what God says. Not what man says, what God says. And so the elder's teaching comes across opposing God's command. What should they have done? They should have decided to get rid of the elder's teaching. Not listen to the elder's teaching, but they chose to reject the command of God. And this is kind of an interesting command to me, because I think that, personally, I think this still could happen. This still could happen, and it still could look really holy. Take care of your family. Take care of your family. Take care of those around you. I could still see a Christian being tempted when their parents get old and maybe not fun to be around, to reject this command and devote time and energy and all sorts of other things to the church, to the poor, to all sorts of things, and not obey God. Not obey God. That could still happen. Maybe that's something that you guys are presented with now or will be presented with. And we're going to look at a verse later that says it's serious. It's serious. We need to follow God in this command. So what is the issue with these Pharisees also doing this? Is they are making it hard to bear. They're putting burdens on people, on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. So they're adding these rules, they're adding these burdens, they're adding all sorts of things to likely new people just coming to faith, and yet they're standing back and not doing anything to help them. They don't have a heart that's been changed by God. So what are some things we see here of a God-honoring heart? I see three things right out of the scripture. A God-honoring heart, number one, sets aside all man-made traditions to obey God. Sets aside all man-made traditions to obey God. I was raised in a conservative church environment. Not going to say what church it was today, but a conservative church environment. Many man-made traditions. And in this church, even now, some people, not everyone, would say, you know, you guys are in a cult because you don't do these traditions. And maybe some of you experience that with family members. The one that sees Jesus Christ for who he is and follows him has to set aside those things. We're not going to believe those things that are not in the Bible and not in God's word, and we're going to choose to go after what God says. We're going to follow him. Number two, a God-honoring heart rejects hypocrisy. Now, Jesus commended the Pharisees for teaching the Old Testament law. Do what they tell you. Do what the Pharisees tell you if it's in the Bible, but don't do the things they do. A God-honoring heart rejects hypocrisy. And I think we all have to do this. We have to search, do some soul searching of what are things that I'm all about, because that's what Christians are all about. And I tell everyone I'm all about it, but I don't do. Where are the blind spots in my life? What are the things that I confess to be about, but I'm not really about when I really search myself? And I think you'll find something. I'll find something, because we have hearts that tend to want to go down the wrong path. And so we need to reset. We need to get back on the path. Reject hypocrisy. Third thing, God-honoring heart clings to the commandment of God. And I'll come back to this example of taking care of family. So 1 Timothy 5:8, New Testament verse. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now I'm going to make up a fictitious situation, but this is not that far out of the realm. Not that far out of the realm. A young guy, many kids, loses his job, but he's learning about faith. And it's very spiritual to spend a lot of time in the Word praying, which is good. It's right. But because of this time he likes to spend, he says, I'm not going to get a job. Why would I get a job? But yet, his family's suffering. His kids are suffering. The Word says that he should provide for his own family. And he's using it as an opportunity to neglect his responsibility. God-given responsibility. The God-honoring heart would say, even though I don't want to get a job, even though I don't necessarily want to do this where I can do other things, I need to obey the Word of God. Or for someone that has elderly parents, that maybe dementia, maybe physically tough, and it's just a tough, tough situation. It's going to take work. It's going to take giving of time, maybe money. But God says, provide, honor our parents. And so that's what we need to do. And it's not going to look the same for every person, but we need to search our heart. Do I have a heart that really wants to follow God? Do I want to choose to obey his commands? Do I want to carry out what he's calling me to do? God-honoring heart. Now, I know we don't live in a time where we have Pharisees like they did, right? We don't live in a time where we have the traditions of the elders. So what I'd like to do is to propose to you that there are actually modern commandments of men. There are modern commandments of men that are put out there, maybe even in the name of Christ. And these are things also we have to be aware of. What are things challenging God's word that would want us to follow them versus following what God says? So I'm going to propose three of them. There's many, but these are just three I thought of to show that this is a modern issue. This is something we need to think about. So number one, valuing, these things are taught. These things are prioritized by some people. Valuing the freedom of choice over the command of God. I'm thinking specifically of the rights of the unborn. The rights of the unborn. There are some segments of Christianity that highly values the freedom of choice, equality, the freedom of the woman, whatever you want to call it, I don't know what all the terms are, to minimize the rights of the unborn, to minimize the rights of the unborn. And I would call this a modern commandment of men. It hasn't always been that way. But this is something that appeals to some people and makes them maybe want to not follow what God would say. And yet in Proverbs 31, it says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So sometimes we might be led to possibly want to follow what I'm going to call a modern commandment of men, something that sounds really good. It sounds, man, this could be godly, where we need to search the scriptures and see what is God calling me to do by his command. What are the things he wants me to be about? Second modern commandment of men, valuing possessions over the command of God, giving to the poor. So I started with maybe what some people call a liberal mindset. Now I'm going to what some people call a conservative mindset, valuing possessions over the command of God. And I think this one maybe stems from misinterpreting Scripture or going above what Scripture says. So the idea could be, you know, you reap what you sow. Those that are have a little bit more, have worked hard, they've done their part. You know, the poor are poor because they just haven't done it. They haven't done the things they need to do. That's why they're poor. But Jesus would say, Luke 14:14, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And there's many other verses that talk about us being generous, taking care of the poor, using the gifts that we have for others. And so when our heart wants to cling to those things that we feel like, hey, we've worked hard for, Jesus would say, be generous, give to the poor, use what you've been given. The third modern commandment of men that I have here is valuing my way of obeying over the command of God. I feel a really good example of this is parenting, where if you look at the scripture, there's very little specific verses. There's commandments, right? But very few specifics, as in you're not commanded to take your kids to public school or homeschool or private school. You're not commanded that, right? It says in Ephesians 6:4, bring children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the command. You have to do that if you have kids. But something that could be added onto that would be an extra biblical teaching that you're not a Christian unless you such, such, and this. You're not honoring God unless you do this or that. You're not honoring God unless you discipline or teach in a certain way. And so we need to come back to the scripture. What does God say about these things? And it brings it back to the baseline issue. Will we talk the talk or will we walk the walk? Are we the ones that will just honor with our lips or will we honor him in our actions? Will the scripture be, could it be said of us, we love God so we obey God? So I'm going to pose a question to you just to conclude. And the question is this, are you walking the walk or are you merely talking the talk? Evaluating yourself. I want everybody in here evaluating yourself. I'm making assumptions here that majority here are saying you're Christian. If you're not a Christian, you openly say that. I want to tell you, it's worth it. Jesus Christ is worth it. But if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, are you walking the walk? Are you doing the things that God would command? Evaluate the motives for what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. Is it due to Jesus Christ and what he commands? Are you setting your life on a trajectory to obey everything he's commanded? because the reward is great. I started just explaining what it is to honor God by having three verses in John 14, if you love him, you'll obey him. And I want to read the end of one to point out that Jesus really is calling men to himself. Jesus is calling people to obey him, calling people to himself. And the biggest thing the Pharisees were doing is rejecting that. They were rejecting Jesus. They wanted the disciples to be rejected from Jesus. And Jesus hated that because he wanted people drawn to himself. It says in John 14:23, Jesus answered him, a certain man, John, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is God's desire. This is Jesus' desire, that he would come to you. He would make his home with you. He'd walk with you. He'd be with you every day. That's God's desire. That is the reward. That is the reward of having a heart moved by God's love, responding to God's love, obeying his commands, drawing close to him, is that we get Jesus. We get more of Jesus. Jesus walks with us. Jesus leads us. He is the reward. He is the one that we get. And so as you're evaluating, and maybe in some parts of your life, probably like all of us, we could say, you know what? I'm not walking the walk here. I need to repent. I need to come back to Jesus Christ. Let this be your reward. Let this be the knowledge of your reward. Jesus Christ will be with you when you take that step. Jesus Christ will draw near to you when you make that effort, that right. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you were about drawing people to yourself. You were about rejecting false teaching as a way to love people, as a way to correct their thinking so that they can draw near to you. I pray, Lord God, if anybody in here hasn't experienced that love, Lord God, that you would open their heart to you, to understand the goodness of Jesus Christ, what you did on the cross, all the things that you displayed in the New Testament of healing and preaching and teaching and just being with people. And I pray for us, Lord God, that have been walking with you for a time, Lord God. Help us to evaluate, Lord, if we are honoring you, Lord, with our action, the things that we're doing, Lord, and help us to turn to you where we're not, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that receives us. If we come to you with an open heart, and I ask that you would continue to mold us, Lord, into your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great day. If anybody would like to pray, I'll be up here. Would love to pray with you. Have a great Sunday.